But is it real to you? You know, everything about Christianity is about Jesus. And if you're struggling with your Christianity, generally, it just means that Jesus has drifted from the center. Simple as that. It's not a matter of being condemned about it or what's going on. It's just about drawing him back into the center of your life. It's all about relationship. If it starts to not make sense, or it starts to get too hard, or you start to see it as this, wow, this Christian life is hard work, it just literally means that Jesus has just drifted. It's all about relationship. True? It actually becomes something that isn't that hard when it's all about relationship. And what he's done is he's broken everything. There's nothing. There's no sin. There's nothing that can stop you from meeting with him. That's what the grace of God is. Nothing. I don't care what you did and how you did it, how bad you think you are. You can always lift your head because of God's grace if you're a believer, and you're going to be accepted all the way in to the green room of heaven, to the Holy of Holies, and you'll be in relationship. Because in that place, you'll get power and acceptance to live. Sound good? That's amazing. That's what's incredible about it. Well, I need you to say amen to someone next to you. Tell them they're awesome. Tell them they're incredible. Now I need you to be really encouraging with our worship creative team who are here at 8:30 or before, 8 a.m., week in, week out. They do an amazing job and they're incredible. So give them a hand as they take a seat. And they're a good-looking crew, not only talented but good-looking. How you doing? He's doing well. 11 degrees this morning. You know what? It's really confusing around about now because you put on a jacket and, you know, I've got a leather jacket and I was freezing this morning. Now I'm hot. It just warms up. My wife just smiled. Of course I'm hot. So I'm going to speak a very positive message today. I'm going to get into, I think, one of the most positive messages that I could speak. I'm going to deal with sin. We've talked a lot about shame, guilt. We've talked a lot of areas that wreak havoc on the Christian life. True? Not only the Christian life, but just out there in general. There's so many things that are... But the greatest enemy of all of us is sin. Behind shame is sin. Behind guilt is sin. Behind brokenness, heartache is sin. Might not be your sin, but someone else's sin. True? We look across this world when we see the pain, and I've had this argument, this debate with many people that really don't understand God. You hear it time and again, how could God allow all the hurt and pain, all the devastation we see? Well, that is all of that out there is the cause of just sin. Sin comes to kill and destroy. And it's not a respecter of anyone. It just hurts us. And God, through his grace and his mercy, wants us to have an incredible, blessed life. True? He wants your life. He's got the complete opposite. He's come that you have life and you have it more abundantly. The enemy has come that he could kill and destroy, and sin is his greatest weapon. Romans 8:15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. What a beautiful verse. So I'm gonna deal with some pretty big verses. Is that all right? Some ones that literally used to mess with my head for a while, trying to get my head around how we deal with this area of our lives. But it's something we need to dive into. So let's start. First of all, let me start with Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We're going to read the NIV. Hopefully we've got, yes, NIV. We'll jump to the NIV for a moment. I'm sure we've got that up the back there. Someone shaking their head. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That sounds good, right? Got our heads around it. Now we're going to jump to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. This is New King James, just keeping the guys up the back on their toes. And this is the one I think, when I used to read this, I used to think, wow, okay, hold on, what's going on here? It says, are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would, listen to this, no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. All right. So according to the word of God, you're freed from sin. How are you feeling right now? Freed from sin. What an amazing people you are. All of you in this room, freed from sin. That's what the word of God says. True? Freed means freed, doesn't it? So, how many people here in the last 2 weeks have sinned? Raise your hand. Let's be real. If you haven't, you're lying, which means you've just sinned. Come on. Come on. We do it again. How many people in the last 2 weeks have sinned? Let me clarify sin. Sin is worry. Who's worried? Had any thought of worry in the last 2 weeks? You've worried about anything, about whether the dog got away, or whether or not you paid all your bills. Raise your hand if you've worried slightly. What about if you've actually, you see, when we think sin, we think of some big things, right? Okay, I haven't run off from my wife, and I haven't had an affair. I haven't gone and robbed the local 7-Eleven with a balaclava and two mates. I haven't launched a terrorist attack. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't flogged something, taken home, the printer from work or the photocopier, which would be very hard, just quietly. But you might have taken a paperclip or a pen, and that would be stealing. Come on. So when you look at this, so how do we live dead to sin and alive to God? First of all, we've got to understand that we are radically changed. I talk about this a bit through, I guess, when I'm talking about guilt and shame and everything, I talk about the fact that when you become a believer, you change. Come on. And if we don't, if you're struggling with that revelation, it's a revelation that you have to get, that you are different. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light, whom once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have now obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, who did not obtain it, but now do obtain mercy. Sorry. So you are, and then we go on to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everyone say new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2,000 years ago, through Christ, we actually changed. We are part of something new. We are different. And out of that, we actually became dead to sin. What does that mean? Dead to sin means that you are free from sin's control. We're no longer its slaves. You've actually got to think, when Jesus died on the cross, I mean, I think sometimes what we think is that in our minds is like when we accept Jesus, he sucked all the sin out of us like a vacuum or something. Or that our sin was placed on Jesus, right? That's typically what a lot of people, Christians, think. But the reality is, when you accepted Christ, your sin-dead body was nailed to the cross just like Jesus. Are you getting it? You've got to picture this. Like your old nature, your sin that invokes all the punishment of God and would send you to hell and separate you, it was literally on the cross, like Jesus, nailed to it, like a form of you. And you, just like Jesus, died. And you, just like Jesus, were risen as a new creation. Come on. Are you trying to get this in your head? And just like you are a new creation, you're a completely new person. Are you with me? Like that old sin nature was literally on the cross and it died. That's what it's all about. That's what Christianity is about. And for you not to get that revelation that you are new, it's paramount to everything to do with Christianity. It's understanding that you are a new creation. You're not what you are. You're not associated with your past. Come on. Are you hearing me? I'm gonna track through your mind because you're thinking, okay, I'm still in this body. I still think about all the things that I've done in the past. I'm still thinking about the things. We'll get there in a moment, all right? But just understand with me that you've got to see that you are a new creation. That's why there's so much hope for you when you become a Christian. Whatever you've been involved in, whatever has tried to draw on you, whatever you've called yourself in the past, whatever was over you, it doesn't have a hold on you. Christ, through Christ, you're a new creation. Are you with me? So you might be thinking, dead to sin, you've got to be kidding. I sin every day. I spend most of my day thinking about how I'm not to sin. And at the end of the day, thinking of what I did do wrong. And if you're going to tell me that I'm dead to sin, you're going to have to tell me that I'm dead to breathing, because I know my weaknesses. I keep doing it. Would that be a lot of us in this place? Come on. I'm here to say I'm some perfect person. I sin. I try not to, but I sin. All right? And you know what? God actually knows that. We're going to get somewhere with this. I'm trying to actually give you an understanding of how we deal with sin and how we look at it in our lives, because it has such destructive power. So let's understand what dead to sin. What does God mean when he says you are dead to sin? When we read Romans 6 with 1 to 7, it says we are dead to sin. What does it mean? If we're still experiencing sin in our lives, what does dead to sin mean? What does it actually mean? First of all, it doesn't mean that you don't sin anymore, because believers still sin. God hasn't got his head buried in the sand. You know, sometimes we think, okay, Christ has died on the cross and he's given us this new life and we're dead to sin. And the Apostle Paul says we're dead to sin. And the Word of God says we are, but God is sort of just ignoring us all because we as believers are still sinning. Sometimes we must think God's like that. Are you hearing me? Like he's just naive, or he's turned his back, or he just doesn't realize he actually knows. Are you with me? So we still sin. Like I said, worry, doubt, gossip, backbiting. Not all the big ones. All the little ones. Little lies. Little untruths. They're all sin. So what does it mean? The second thing about being dead to sin, what it doesn't mean is that it doesn't mean that you don't get tempted. Being dead to sin doesn't mean that temptation doesn't happen. Everyone in this room knows that you get tempted, right? You get tempted, and I'm not just talking once again, and when I'm talking about this quite often, yeah, sure. There's people in this room that are tempted to watch pornography. There's people in this room that are tempted to maybe do something really bad, or I don't know, but it could also be tempted to worry, tempted to have anxiety or some fear over some areas of your life. You know, I this is a statement I found, well, an 80-year-old Christian man was asked by a group of teenage boys, when does sexual temptation disappear? And he said, I don't know, sometime after 80, I think. Come on. Can I be real or what? Oh, it's all gone quiet. Well, it hasn't gone quiet in here. This is life, right? God doesn't want you to live in denial. He doesn't want you wandering around as a Christian without realizing this is what I'm dealing with sin, because I know everyone in this room sins. Isn't that right? And so does God. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, Jesus actually was tempted, so nothing's going to ever. Temptation is not necessarily sin. Jesus was tempted. We know that. By the devil, he was tempted. And I'm sure the devil wasn't the only thing. I'm sure he was tempted all through his walk, but he didn't sin. So what is being dead to sin? Dead to sin actually really means you're no longer its slave. It's no longer your master. Means that the relationship has been severed. We're alive to God and we're not alive to sin. So how do dead to sin people, which is all of us, if you're a believer in this room, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with sin in our day-to-day world? How do we deal with it in our day-to-day lives? How do we combat this plight that everyone in this room is dealing with? Amen? Are you still with me? So, when temptation attacks, what dead to sin means is means that you're no longer helpless. You're no longer helpless against its attack. See, for someone in the world, someone who's not outside of God, all they've got is their moral upstanding, whatever that is, wherever that came from, wherever they get their morals from. In this world, it's getting harder and harder. That's why the enemy loves to erode anything that's based on God, to bring the standards of our world down so that we're left with something that's just, you know, it becomes a what is it? A Coca-Cola slogan. You know, everything. Do what you want to do. If it feels good to you, just do it. Are you hearing me? But if you've grown up with good morals, if you've grown up with a good background, if you've got some good character, maybe your parents raised you right outside of God. They just sort of said, you know, you shouldn't do this, you do that. And they put boundaries around your life and they raise you. Or if you're an incredibly determined person just to stay away from any of this, if that's all you've got, that's all you've got. Outside in the world, that's all they've got to fight temptation. But temptation will keep coming. The enemy, I believe, this is my personal Andrewism, that the enemy sometimes, when someone is outside of God, they actually don't tempt them as much because they want to keep them in that world. Are you hearing me? It's almost like the devil kind of, he can't, he will kill and destroy. Ultimately, that's his aim. But if the ultimate kill and destroy for him is to send someone away from God into hell. So if he can kind of make it seem like you're doing well to get there, he'll do that. Are you hearing me? Within his nature, I'm sure. But for us as believers, if you're a believer, I can tell you right now, you're getting tempted 24/7. He's locking and loading, and he knows you. He knows who what you like. He knows what your weaknesses are. And he's he knows the right time of night when you're just tired and you're overwhelmed. You're just like a big day. He knows when you're at your lowest point. He knows the right people to push your buttons. He knows all of that. Are you hearing me? And he lives in that world, and that's what it is. But for us who's received Christ as our Savior, we can actually choose to say no to temptation. And I'm going to open the door to make you understand the power behind saying no. Because I actually think for a lot of believers, saying no to temptation and allowing your world to come into sin is something that you've struggled with for a long time. Amen? So let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, NIV version. Are you with me? Good for you, some of you, to bring your Bibles. I know we have it up here, but sometimes just bringing your Bible, bringing your phone, your Bible on your phone, reading it is actually really helpful. I grew up in church taking notes. I did. I used to have a little, I've got little these books at home that I would take notes. I take them on my phone now when people preach, because sometimes just by writing them down, it helps you learn. True? We know that. That's a study tool. So, you know, just open a note. If you've got a smartphone these days, they would have that. Anyway, the grace of God, verse 11, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Let me just go back to that first verse. It says, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no. The grace of God teaches us to say no. Isn't that beautiful? The grace of God teaches us to say no. And then it lists a whole bunch of things that everyone in this room is dealing with. Ungodliness, worldly passions, to live self-control, to live upright, godly lives, those things that we know we're called to live. We hear every week, we know that we're called to live that way, and we think, and our world can be about, how do we do that? Well, the Word of God says that how we do that is by the grace of God, teaches us to say no. Does it say anywhere in this and these verses that a list of rules and regulations will teach us to stop temptation. Can you see that anywhere? See, the reality is, let me get this straight. The reality is it's the grace of God that teaches you to say no. Now, Paul talks about, he says, I know my weakness and I understand grace. But the grace of God is understanding that God loves you. And it's that power, if you work on that grace in your life and understand the grace of God and you understand that he loves you, you understand that you're weak and he's strong, that will over time give you power to say no. Are you with me? You don't start off as a new Christian. You don't have this instant power because it's a relationship. If I wanted to get to know someone in this room, if I wanted to get to know Chris Thompson and we met for the first time, great. It's going to take time for me to get to know him, right? And that's what your walk in God is. It's why when you get to know and you build this relationship with God, you're going to get stronger at saying no. You're naturally going to get to a point after, if you keep going and you keep building, no will become easy. Just like the more that I get to know Chris, the more we sat down and have coffee, the more I know who he is and what he likes and what he acts like, what he does and what his interests are and what his heart is. Are you hearing me? And God knows that about every single one in this room. See, this battle we have with sin and temptation, it all comes from a relationship with God. That's where the strength is. If you, and you know what, and the enemy's tricky. He gets you off that and onto rules and regulations. He gets you to think all day. He gets you all caught up in condemnation about what you've done wrong. And he gets you thinking about sin because he gets you preoccupied with your sin. And not with the relationship with God. Because if you naturally spend time with God, I'm telling you, you will naturally start to say no. It'll just be, I'm there with him. And the grace of God will just start to work in your life. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will happen. It really sounds like an ad. But so I don't know where that ad came from, but it's there somewhere in my head. Are you hearing me? To be tempted is to be human. God knows that. We're just going to allow ourselves. I love that verse. Read that verse again. It's the grace of God which appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no. For some of you in this room, it's like, I'm struggling. I've been a Christian for a while. I'm just struggling with sin. I'm struggling with temptation. I keep letting it in. Take your focus off that and put your focus on just meeting with him. Come on. Seriously. Seriously. And if you started meeting with him for 5 minutes a day, and I mean that, 5 minutes, you would start to build a strength in your life because you're never going to do it on your own strength. You need the grace of God to fight against temptation. Some of you, the devil just goes, no. And so you wake up at night, you just feel guilty. You come to church feeling guilty, condemned. Your whole mind is just listing this and you're in this. And instead, if you just ran into the Word of God and sat down and just sat down with God and begin to just talk with him and read his Word, build some relationship. You've got to realize this Christianity is not about what you're doing and what you're not doing. It's about Jesus. He's the center of it all. And it's about that. It's about that power. So you may be still thinking, but how do I get this working? It starts with believing that this is truth. Some of you actually, I could see when I'm talking about this, you're going, well, Andrew, that's a little bit too simple. You know, I don't know. Just meeting with Jesus? Just building a relationship with him? Is that going to break off all these passions and these temptations that I give into all the time that just occupy my life and keep me in a spiral? It seems a little bit crazy. Surely there's, you know, a 21-point plan I need to do. You know what I mean? You know, there's a lot more I've got to do to allow this to work. But this is the truth. The truth is understanding, to trust the grace of God. Trust its power. If God says that by his grace we are dead to sin, if that is the power, you have to trust it. That's where the fight is. That's where we've got to actually lean in and realize we've got to fight. And if we go back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, let me read this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life you live that fights temptation, you live by faith. So faith is, sometimes we put faith into to the external out there. I'm believing for a new car. I'm praying in faith. I'm believing for someone to be healed and looked after. But faith actually takes to you to believe that meeting with God every day is breaking sin. Are you hearing me? That whenever you think, you thank God, by faith it takes, when you get that revelation, that meeting with God every day is releasing a greater revelation of his grace and you're building a stronger revelation, that takes faith. If you're not doing it, there's less faith there. Are you hearing me? Come on. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when you put yourself in this place and when you listen to the word of God and when you read the word of God, it will build that grace, that power, that revelation, that love that God has for you. You'll build a relationship that will start to, you'll start to see temptation drop off you. It'll literally let go. It'll start to disappear and move away from areas of your life. Romans 6 verse 11 puts it this way. Consider. That wasn't a stutter. It was a dropout. Consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That word consider. Is to make it true. Are you with me? God's saying to you, I need you to believe this. You want to activate this power in your life? Then you've got to believe it. Do you actually believe it? Oh, I've been a Christian for years and I'm still caught up in all sorts of areas of sin. Well, do you believe that you meeting with God and building a relationship with him is going to break that sin, that hold? Do you actually believe that? And I guarantee if you look back on your life and look at the areas where you somehow got distracted from meeting with God and building a relationship was the times when temptation started to creep its way back in. Come on. You might have been even turning up to church. Well, you might have been doing more. You might have been, you know, giving to more charities. You might have been doing this and that, but you just drifted away from meeting with God. And you made your Christianity about what you're doing and not about him. And temptation will just start to come back in. Are you hearing me? Are you still with me? We have to believe and continue to believe in this truth, and it will progressively become evident in our lives. I can tell you, if you meet with Jesus by reading his word and just praying, you meet with him, you will change. You cannot not change. Let's read Titus 2, verse 11 to 14 again. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no. Amen? So here's the... I think we're really... Must be maybe batteries or something. Here's the reason most of us Christians do not see ourselves being dead to sin and alive. Number one, we haven't got this revelation. Simple as that. We think being dead to sin is being incredibly hard on ourselves every day, recounting all our sins, and just with all our self-determination and effort, being going crazy. Are you hearing me? And we're not strong enough. We're not. I've got to do more. I've got to do more of this. I've got to do more of that. But you know, yeah, there are some. If you've got an area of sin in your life and you need to be out of that area of temptation, God will work on that. But and God will actually start to put in your heart a desire. Well, the second one is we know this, but we've been distracted from relationship and our Christianity's drifted into other things. You can be a pastor and not meet with God. It is actually easier to do that, I think, than anywhere, because you know what? Being a pastor in church, I can make this all about work and not about relationship. Come on. It's actually very easy. A lot of pastors get into that trap. You read the Bible for a sermon. You read this for a message. You do that for that. You're nice because you have to be. All this sort of stuff. You love people because God tells you to. Are you hearing me? So these are areas that we can all drift into, and we can just drift away from that time, that relationship. So what is the result of living this revelation by faith? We've got to declare it. You know, when we're living outside of the relationship of grace on our lives, we start to work hard to protect ourselves from sin, building all sorts of walls and coming up with all sorts of things. We convince ourselves that the Christian life is trying hard to obey God's commands and we need to try harder. Our Christianity becomes literally about this week. Okay, I'm going to try harder. I feel so condemned from last week. I blew it. I sinned in all these areas. Are you hearing me? You're kind of missing the point. Trying hard, gritting your teeth, dealing with sin, the devil, and you get trapped into legalism, which is all about doing things and away from understanding and hanging and getting a relationship and getting the grace of God to do it for you. Are you hearing me? John chapter 3, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You want life in you? You meet with the Spirit. You allow the Spirit of God to give you life. So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exalt one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It'll trick you. It'll snare you. It's horrible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. See, what God ultimately wants to do is get you to a place where you hate sin. Let me just stop for a moment. The only way God's going to get you, he's not going to get you to a place where you hate sin by giving you all these Ten Commandments to fulfill, regulations that you keep failing in because you're not good enough. Are you hearing me? If he gives you a list of things to do, he's not going to build you. If I tell my children all the things they can't do, am I going to teach them to hate something else? No. Are you hearing me? I kind of grew up that way. Well, I was given a whole bunch of lists of things that I can't do, and I got to a place where I actually went out and wanted to do that list from 1 to 10. Are you hearing me? And God knows that the greatest way for you to defeat sin in your life is for you to hate it yourself. Not because God hates it and you still love it secretly, but you to actually get to a place where you despise it yourself. You see it as hurting your life. You see it as destroying your life. You see it as bringing pain, and you can't stand it. You can't stand the effects of sin and what it does. And you get to a place where you just go, oh, I hate it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to that place. No, I'm not going to go to that nightclub right now. No way. I'm not going to go to that. I'm not going to go out, do that. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to turn that on. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that thing. I'm not going to be involved in that. That is going to hurt me. God goes, it's got to get you to a place where you love him so much that you hate sin. That is the only way that you will build a lifestyle that will spiral upwards dealing with temptation and sin. If you start to think you can build all these walls of standards around your life like this and there's no love and you're just doing it, you're going to end up in your own flesh. And it just gets hard. You know what? I've tried it for quite a few years of my life. It just doesn't work. It takes something more. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. We've been here a bit, but let's read it again. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly, which is what we all desire in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. Okay, God's going to come back, be amazing, but while you're doing that, God says, I want to give you the ability to come against, live godly, live a good life, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, and then the end of it, eager to do what is good. You see, that's the power. When you realize you can't do it on your own and you need the grace of God, it'll build an eagerness to do good. That word eager means eager. It means natural. Like coming to church on a Sunday is not like, oh, I have to because I know I've been sinning really badly this week and I've just got to get into the house of God and hear the word of God because all my thoughts at the moment are about sin and I just keep thinking sin and I've got to get there. If that's your total motivation, that's a bit of legalism. Are you hearing me? God wants you to get to a place where you walk in. Oh, Sunday morning is where the word of God's going to be opened up. It's where there's going to be an opportunity to worship. I'm going to be an opportunity to be around other believers that love God. I can't wait to be there. And you get in here, what's God going to say to me this morning? What's the Holy Spirit going to, how is it going to affect my life? What revelation am I going to get? I'm so eager to be there. I'm eager to be at Life Group. I'm eager to be a lifestyle of freedom. I can't wait to get this freedom. I can't wait to be at Youth Group on a Friday night. I'm eager to learn to allow the word of God to get into my heart and life. You get someone who's in that level, and you look in the background of their life, you're going to see all sorts of temptations that are dropping off. Come on. Sorry, we don't have a membership here. Someone said to me, why don't you have a membership? What? Just to hold you in here? You don't want to come, but you come? Yeah, can be bothered. You know, stupid pastor, what's going to happen today? A rotten life was going to tell me I'm a sinner. Yeah, I did. But I want to tell you that you're loved by God and you can defeat sin. Amen? That by the grace of God, you are dead to sin. And it's that grace released in that relationship. It'll just begin, and God, the grace of God will teach you to say no. Teach you to say no. Teaches us to say no. Can I just say, your Christianity is not supposed to be a constant battle with sin. Come on. Seriously, it's not supposed to be rocking up on a Sunday and feeling all this remorse about the things you've done wrong and where your life is not, why it's not going forward. Are you hearing me? God actually wants your life to be about something incredibly beautiful and exciting. He wants your life to be about what God's doing. Thank you, Marcella. Good timing. Man of the Spirit. He wants your life to be about the incredible things he has for you and your family. Are you hearing me? For what he's going to outwork in your life. For what he has on offer for you. He wants your He wants you to get to a place where you actually can't wait for Monday to that time where you spend with God. You hear me? There's too many people trapped out of relationship because of condemnation. Because if God's, the enemy's got you thinking about sin and Christianity and sin and Christianity and sin. He's got you on this little, like a rat in a wheel where you just, I'm just dealing with, and every time he doesn't want that. He says, like, just come, be with, allow this me and you relationship, and we, through the God's grace, will deal with the sin on your life. And progressively, some of you are going to be just free, and you're a year from now, you're just being, oh man, I can't wait. I just have the most best times with God. I squirrel myself away into a cafe to have coffee, and sometimes I get interrupted, only sometimes because I get annoyed because I just love it. I love it. I read the Word of God. This one here loves the Word of God, doesn't she? And she's always positive. Why? It's not like you haven't got, it's like Sheila doesn't have worry, trying to tempt her with worry and anxiety and all sorts of things going on in her life. Some of you just need to bring your Christianity back around. Jesus is the center of it all. Come on. Thinking about sin and what you did last week is not the center of it all. Some of you, you know, if you're really in a place of just high temptation, then I can guarantee you're not meeting with Jesus. Simple as that. I can honestly, I'll be blunt and say that your Christianity has not been about meeting with him. I can tell you it won't be. Because if it is meeting with him, opening your Bible, and if you don't understand it, get some way. Start reading it, verse at a time. Just say a simple prayer. Open a journal to what you've got to do and just say, Jesus, I love you. I'm here today, and I don't know what else is going to happen. And then the next day, Jesus, I'm here again. I'll read another verse. I just want to get to know you. Next day, Jesus, I'm back. Don't feel like a lot's changed, but I'm here again. Day four. Okay. Do you want to say anything? It's awkward. There's no talking. Day five. Okay, that verse. God, that verse was kind of cool. Kind of spoken to my day a little bit, I think, maybe. I don't know. Day five. Yeah. Feel a little bit different today. Day six. 6 times 5 minutes. Are you hearing me? A year from now. Jesus. Can't believe it. I just prayed. I felt like 5 minutes, but I looked at the clock and it was 40 minutes. I can't understand it. It was amazing. I feel so good. Thank you. Are you hearing me? Come on. We all battle with sin, every one of us in this room. And I can tell you, if sin starts to march and temptation starts to march in my life, it's when I disappear from Jesus and his grace. And that relationship and that power that works in me every day. Is that right? Where we stand? You just need to turn up. Seriously. You know, I have a, if you turn up to church out of relationship, it's the best thing you can do. If you turn up to worship out of relationship, it's the best thing you can do. If you turn up to youth out of relationship, if you've turned youth and just to turning up, fine, but turn it up, just all you've got to do is flick a little switch and go, Jesus is about you tonight. I'm going to serve, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but it's about you tonight. Church is, I know you can speak to me. This is not a place of just the technical. This is a place of relationship. God can use me just like he used a donkey for Balaam. He can use me to speak relationship into your heart and anyone that's on the stage. Amen? So come here believing for that and turn up. Just keep turning up. Turn up to your Bible. Just turn up. Find that place. Turn up. And you'll get to a place where, this is where you've got to have faith, where the areas of temptation you're dealing with now, you'll start to build a natural hatred towards them. You'll start to see them for what they are, and you'll be eager, as the Word of God says, to do good things. Amen? So we just close our eyes. God, I just pray for that revelation. You created us dead to sin. We have that power within us. Every one of us that has accepted you, that love you, call themselves a believer in this place, that know that they are child of God. We have that power inside of us that takes away the control that sin wants to have to enslave us in our lives. And we realize today, God, that that power to defeat sin comes from your grace that you gave us on the cross. And as we meet with you progressively, God, you work that grace filters into our lives and changes us and causes us to love you more than we love sin. And we become eager to do all the things that you're involved in, God. Because we become friends, we become lovers of you, God. Lovers of what you love. Naturally, God, we change. God, I pray for a revelation just to come across everyone in this room. That we would, this Monday, God, for some of us, we would actually just find that place and we would maybe repent, God, from just not meeting with you. Trying to do our Christianity without you, without being in a relationship. Begin a new chapter in our lives of walking with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every eye closed one more time, just for a moment. If you're not a believer in this place, if you have any doubt whether or not you're a Christian, which means you've invited Christ in your life, you've made him your Lord and Savior, if you have any doubt, you need not live in that doubt. You can have an assurance that you're a believer, that you're a Christian. We're going to pray a prayer in this place, and we do this every week, and I'd like you to pray this prayer with us. If you have any doubt about your salvation, then pray this prayer with all your heart, and then we'll talk to you about what we'll do after that. And we as a church, we're going to pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me to take away my sin, replace it with your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. I accept today that I'm a child of God, that eternity is placed in my heart, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which your Bible tells us. Come into my heart, Jesus. Forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, just a little longer. If you prayed that prayer, you know, for the first time, or as a rededication, just raise your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand. Awesome. Anyone else? Love it when I see a hand rededication go up. I love it. It's awesome. Anyone else? Okay. God, we just pray that you would take this revelation and just allow it to build into our lives and give us an incredible week in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. 1 minute over. We've if you go out there, we've got a special today fundraiser. We've got caramel slices and a last minute announcement.
Hey church, sorry. I forgot a really important announcement for the parents. We are reinstating the kids' check-in. So you guys need to do two things on Sunday mornings. Number one, when you come in, the check-in's going to be set up at the back desk. Number two, your kids will not be released from upstairs until you go up and check them out. So that's a new process. So you will not get your children back until you go up and go and get them. That is not an incentive to leave them up there. So please, if parents could just keep that in mind, that would be awesome. Thank you. Have an awesome week.
Waking up knowing there's a reason, all my dreams come alive, life is for living, with you, I made my decision, you lift me up, fill my eyes with wonder, forever young in your love, this freedom's untainted, with you, no moment is wasted, this is living now. Living now.
waking up knowing there's a reason. All my dreams come alive. Life is for living with you. I made my decision. You lift me up, fill my eyes with wonder. Forever young in your love. This freedom's untainted with you. No moment is wasted. This is living now. Is living now. You take me higher than I've been before. It's your perfect love that sees me soar. God, your freedom is an open door. You are everything I want and more. You lead the way, God, you're right beside me. In your love, I'm complete. There's nothing like living with you. This life you created, I choose. Is living now. This is living now. Waking up, knowing there's a reason. All my dreams come alive. Life is for living with you. I made my decision.